As I have prayers this morning, I appreciate the burden that Brother had for Sunday school. I have a bottle right there. Thank you. Forgot. And I would like to, by the help of the Lord, your prayers, maybe consider a few more thoughts about it. Maybe in a different vein, but still the same burden that I heard expressed the last two or three Sundays and this morning. Perhaps you have all heard of the acronym for the word Bible. It's called Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Not everyone believes in the Bible. I was talking to a man just this past week, and we got into it. Seemed like it just kind of going that direction. He made the comment that God was talking about someone that their son got killed in a motorcycle accident, and he said, well, God made us all to die. And I said, well, not really. He made us to live forever. When he created Adam, man at the beginning, man wasn't meant to die, even here. But it was sin that brought death. Well, he right away quickly said he just really didn't want to go there. He didn't want to talk about it. He said, I don't believe the Bible. He said, God didn't write it. I said, oh, he didn't? I said, I believe he did. He said, well, I believe God gave me enough ability to reason within my own self to figure out things for myself. And I said, well, you're just trying to tell me then that you're wiser than God is. You know how to deal with life better than he does. Folks, God knows how to deal with everything. I'd like for us to turn to the 16th chapter of Matthew. I want to read a few verses. May the desire of the Lord to help us to bring this out in a way that would be edifying and be an encouragement and help to us all. You know, we need to understand the importance of the Word of God. Because we don't have any other recourse of living eternally with God except through His Word. This is the only recourse we have. You may be wise, you may have abilities, and you may be able to reason of a lot of things, but folks, we don't have any other recourse. I don't. Other than the Word of God to help me make heaven. And so I rely on it, depend on it, and endeavoring to believe in it with all my heart. 16th chapter of Matthew, verse 5. When his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves and the 4,000 of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it then, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not of you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. I'd like to speak on the dangers of false teaching by the help of the Lord. You know, last week, was it last week or the very end of the week before last, you all have heard the story about the little boy that climbed the fence and fell into the pit down there with an ape down here in Cincinnati. He fell down there and he dropped 15 feet, they said, and he ended up down there where the ape was. This ape weighed 4,000 pounds. And pretty good sized fella. They said that people that understand those things said that that ape could take a green coconut and crush it with his bare hands, where you and I probably couldn't even open a green one with an axe, is what he said, with a hatchet. So, would you say the boy was in danger? I'd say he was in a dangerous place, wasn't he? It wasn't meant for primates like apes, wild animals like that, and humans to kind of dwell, to live together, because they don't understand the things that you and I understand. They're wild. They're not tame. They will hurt you. They will kill you. They don't have the ability to reason like you and I have the ability to reason. So they didn't know what else to do. The mother was screaming and hollering, and she was very concerned and worried. The boy was 3 years old. And he fell down into there with that ape, and the ape went over and got him, and he started dragging him off. Don't know what he was going to do. Hadn't hurt the child yet. Don't know what he had in mind or the ape had in mind. Maybe it was going to just take it over and kind of hold it and rock it and cradle it. Maybe it had mother instincts, or I don't know. But they went and they called the people that be, and they came over and they shot and killed the ape. They destroyed the ape. You know, in our society today, we don't seem to be able to understand the difference in our society between what is right and what is wrong. What is good and what is evil. We don't know how to put our priorities where they really ought to be. Now, there are people that were crying out because they killed that ape. And that animal should not have had to die. I agree. I wish the animal hadn't died. But I see the value of that child's life a lot more than I see the value of that ape. And beings that they did not know what that ape had in mind, they really had no other recourse but to destroy the ape. And that's what they did, and yet people today are up in arms about it. Well, of course, the parents are glad to get the child back in their arms and to know that it's safe. I was thinking about that, and I want you to consider something right here. There's a lot of dangers in this world, but you can't see all of them. Things that we see that we know that are dangerous, we need to be aware of it and stay away from it. But here's where the enemy takes advantage of people. The things that are really important to a man's soul, you cannot see the danger of it with your natural eye. The things that are really important about the eternal soul of a man, you cannot see. You cannot reason the danger in your mind's eye and know that it is dangerous for you. You need something greater than that, don't you? You need an understanding beyond of what you see with your eyes that says, wait a minute now, this is dangerous. And Jesus is trying to teach his disciples something here. You see, they were living in the days of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and there were all kinds of religious believers and beliefs even in their day. And Jesus was here to teach them. He set up a church not along beside them, but a church that was built upon Mount Zion. A church that was independent of anything that they had ever heard of or ever seen or ever believed. And it was hard for them to grasp that. It was hard for them to get a hold of it. So Jesus knew these men, these disciples of his, they were going to go out after Jesus left here, and they were going to teach, and they were going to take the gospel, and they were going to take it to a lost and a dying world. And he wanted them to get an understanding that anything less than what I am teaching you, anything less than the gospel of Christ is dangerous. And I want you to beware of it. Take heed. Because it'll cost you. Jesus told us, I believe it was Jesus that said, I'm paraphrasing here, don't worry about them that can just take your life. But you consider that one that can destroy your life and your soul in eternity. That's what I'm interested in today. That one that can destroy our life and our soul. You know, dying is it leaves us with a lot of grief. It leaves us with a lot of sadness. But just dying is not the worst thing that I see. Dying and being eternally lost is the worst thing that I can comprehend. And those things that have to do with me being lost, and I'm going to reiterate it one more time, that I cannot necessarily see those things with my natural eye as being dangerous. So Jesus is warning the disciples about the teachings, the false doctrines in the teachings, the leaven of the Pharisees. That's what he's doing. Leaven. That's yeast. You put that in dough. When you make bread, my mother used to send me to the store and what was the name of that? Fleischmann's yeast. Now, I want you to know I want Fleischmann's. They got red something. I forget what that was. But I want Fleischmann's yeast. You come back with Fleischmann's yeast because that's what she wanted to put in her bread. She'd make her bread back in those days. Didn't have bread makers. She made her bread and then she put it in a pan and set it on one of the registers for the heat to come of it. And that old dough would begin to rise because of the yeast working in there. You know, when the enemy can get something in our minds and our thoughts and get that thing to become working in there, if it's not truth, folks, it's going to be danger to us. It's going to cost us something. What you believe today, what you believe, is what you have, is how you have instructed your conscience. You know that? Your conscience, your conscience affects you, in other words, by what you have learned to believe and what you have accepted. I heard of a tribe somewhere in the world, in a heathen tribe, that their belief is that when they, and to worship their God, that they, their ritual is that when they have a child, the firstborn, Evan, don't get scared here. When they have the firstborn child, they throw that into the river to the crocodiles. And they feed that child to the crocodile. That's what the ritual is and the way that they believe. Because their conscience would accept that. You and I could never accept that kind of a thing, could we? We could never accept that we would throw one of our children and feed them to the crocodile. But that's what their conscience taught. My conscience wouldn't accept that. And that's not what the Bible teaches either, is it? So people are believing things and have trained their conscience to accept things that the Bible does not even teach. And yet they call it the teachings of the Bible. That's what they call it. He said in the 12th verse, they understood that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine. Of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Doctrine is plainly, simply put, the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, there's a lot of teaching going on. Now, most of you know that I know from firsthand experience of what it's like to know someone that was raised in a home and was taught false doctrine. I feel sorry. I feel very sorry for souls that grow up in homes and communities and in families that have never been taught the truth. And I see that this morning as a trap. It's a trap. It's something that the enemy uses. You know, the Catholics, for instance, say, you give me a child when he's, what, 5 years old? By the time he's 5 years old or something like that, and he'll be a Catholic the rest of his life. It's a trap. People get indoctrinated with things, and they train their conscience to believe that, and yet I see how that affects them as they begin to go through life. Whenever the trials comes, the difficulties comes, whenever disappointment comes, when sorrow comes, when things come along that just knocks the props out from under you, they have really nothing to stand on. Nothing that will sustain them. Nothing that will keep them in their time of trial. I know what I'm talking about this morning. I know this for a fact. Perhaps you do too. I'm glad, thankful for the truth. It is something that I can stand on at my lowest point in life. It's something that I can stand on in my deepest distress, in my deepest need, the Word of God. And I'm thankful for that today. I've known of people all my life that dabble around over here and dabble around over there, and all that does is bring confusion to the point where they're not even able to really understand what is truth. Isn't that the question Pilate asked Jesus? What is truth? And he was standing right there before. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I glanced at the headline of our morning paper. Did you know the greatest just passed away last Friday? Muhammad Ali. Is he the greatest, or did we just build a man up because of his prowess as a boxer? Yes, he was a boxer. He was a fighter. He was a good fighter. He knew what he was doing in that ring years and years ago, back in the 60s, 70s, and back in those days. I saw some of his fights. He was good, and he knew what he was doing. He knew how to stay out of trouble. But folks, And I made the comment to my wife. I said, you know, being able to hit a ball or put a ball in a hoop or throw one for 60 yards for a touchdown, to be able to fight and to win titles, folks, that none of that is going to sustain you at the judgment day. None of that is going to benefit you. People got the idea, and they build people up, they build things up, and sports become a god to them, and they feel like it's something that just has to be in their lives, and they're blinded, aren't they? They're blinded, and we call them the greatest. We call Elvis the king. Folks, Jesus is the king. He was and is and will always be the king. And he will always be the greatest man that ever lived on this earth. He's truly the greatest this morning. People can get so easily confused. Do you know, you've seen some of your young people out there. I saw a young woman the other day, got a nose ring. My dad used to put those in hogs, keep them from rooting up the ground, because it made the nose sore and they quit tearing up the ground around the pond. But I thought, the devil has those little rings in so many people's noses, and he's leading them wherever he wants to lead them. He can lead them to believe anything he wants them to believe. He can lead them to accept anything. Their conscience, the Bible says, becomes defiled. It becomes impure. It becomes unholy. The conscience becomes seared, and the devil can just take that little nose ring and lead people anywhere he wants to. And that's exactly what he's doing in the churches around our country today. He's leading people wherever He wants to lead them, feeding them a bunch of things that are not true, and expecting them to accept it, and eventually they've heard it so many times. You know, I hear that on the radio sometimes. You say it enough, and eventually people are going to believe it. People hear it enough, and they taught that thing enough. Maybe they heard it around mom and dad's family knee, the knee there in the home when they were growing up, family altar. Maybe they heard it, you know, as a young child and begin to believe this all their life. But for some reason, when the time comes, when they need something to sustain them, something that will keep them, something that will hold them in time of trouble, they don't have it. I've seen them turn to sports. I've seen them turn to entertainment. I've seen them turn to knitting. I've seen them turn to all kinds of things to keep their minds occupied. But I'm so thankful this morning that Jesus Christ keeps my mind occupied. He's there to strengthen, just like He said He would. He's there to sustain me. He's there to keep me in my time of trouble, just like He said He would. There's life in this book, folks. There's life in the Word of God. You won't find this kind of life anywhere else. Beware of the leaven that's in the world today. The doctrines and the teachings that are out there today. Let me tell you something. People are bartering their souls. Is your soul worth that today? Bartering their souls and believing things that are not true. They used to have an advertisement. I haven't heard it for a while. About down here in Cincinnati at one of those gambling places. Tell them to come down and said, odds are you're going to have fun. Folks, I don't want any odds when it comes to my soul. I want to know so. I want to be sure that when it comes to my soul that I know that I'm doing things right. How can I know that? How can I know that? Well, God has given us a spirit, hasn't He? Now, there's a lot of spirits in the world. This is very crude, but I need to mention this. I just saw the other day a picture of a man who was into satanic worship. Satanic cults. Said he skinned his mother and then he killed her. Folks, there's a lot of people today. This is a Sunday. Some folks go on Saturday and Sunday. There's a lot of people worshiping God today. A lot of people worshiping. But how many worship Him in spirit and in truth? How many? When someone is feeding you or teaching you, or imbibing a false teaching, you've got to understand, folks, there's a false spirit behind every false teaching. And if you examine it, you will find, if you truly examine it, you will find there's no life there, there's no power there's no glory there. You'll find that. When you get involved in things that are not true, things that are not real, things that didn't come from God Himself, you're going to find that there's no life there. Henceforth, there's no grace there for you. I was dealing with someone was it yesterday or the day before, was telling them about a man that we both know, and his son that he pretty much had built his life on, was killed in a motorcycle accident just this past week. And his daughter-in-law was on the motorcycle with him. And she's in intensive care and in bad shape. So I told him about this. I asked them if they knew, and they said they didn't know. And you know what they said? I'll pray for her, the woman that's in intensive care. This individual is living in sin. and they know they're living in sin. Except now they are in the place where the devil is deceiving them to believe that they can actually get a hold of God for the condition or the situation of another soul. Folks, you cannot importune to God. Sin separates man from God, doesn't it? Sin separates. God hates sin. And if I'm living in sin and I keep doing the things that I know that is not right for me to do, and folks, I have no right to call on God and ask Him to bless somebody else. I need to call on God for my own soul. For my own soul. Dabbling here and there. People getting involved in things of life. Things that bring nothing but confusion and distortion. Oh, the devil loves to distort things. He loves to take a little bit of truth and mix it with error. Folks, be careful about truth mixed with error. The Bible tells us to try the spirits. Whenever someone comes along and is teaching a doctrine and teaching something that is not of God, you try that. Look for the power. Look for the glory of God. Look for the witness that the Spirit gives to the heart of a man and a woman. You're not going to find it if the devil's in there. If it's not truth and all truth. Pharisees were upright. They were good people. I believe they were good people. Most of them. You ever heard someone say, well, there's some good people over there. Well, they teach once saved, always saved. They teach when you get saved, you get sanctified, one work. They teach this, they teach that. But there's some good people over there. There may be some good people. I believe there were some of these Pharisees were good people. But he said, the blind leave the blind, leave them alone, they'll all fall in the ditch. Folks, there comes a time when good people need to get an honest heart and deal with God honestly and openly and be honest with themselves and do something about being good people. If we don't accept Jesus Christ and His teachings, His doctrines, folks, we're not going to get there. And if you think you're going to get there any other way, you're deceiving yourself. You're not going to get there any other way. Christ went on in this chapter to question the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? We all know that part of this chapter. Who am I? Who do people say that I am? Peter told him who he was. And the Lord said, only the Father could reveal that unto you. Folks, Mom and Dad can't reveal it to us. My heart goes out to the millions of souls that were raised up in homes where Mom and Dad embraced false teaching. That's dangerous. I can't see it with my natural eye. But folks, I can see the effects of it. I can see the effects of it. It's like the wind blows wherever it wants to blow. You can't see the wind blow, but you can see the leaves of the trees move, can't you? The branches. You can see the effects of it. I see the effects of false doctrine today. I see the effects of false teaching today. Where do I see it? It's all around us. That's why we are in such a deplorable condition as a society in this country today, because of all the false teaching and all the false things that people have believed that have not been able to sustain the mind, the heart, and the soul of a man. That's why we are where we are today. All I can say is, folks, when you find the truth, embrace it. Embrace it with all your heart. I believe, no doubt, wouldn't you agree, that there was a lot of people in the day of Christ influenced by the Pharisee message. They're good people. They're moral. They don't steal anything. They don't mistreat people. They're good people. They're also proud people. They took pride in their religion and what they believed. I want to be like the Apostle Paul and count it all but dung that I might win Christ. It's Christ I want. It's Christ and His doctrines and His teachings. I know what we believe as the Church of God. But in my years of dealing with situations, growing up and dealing with things in the ministry, dealing with things right here in this area with people, I know that there's people that love to get into the book of Revelation. And they don't understand what they're reading. But you know the devil always has someone available to come along and tell them what to read and explain it to them. We, this congregation right here, I can remember when we was on Tyron, there was 50, 55 people every Sunday. And then came along Revelations. Then came along a teaching of the seventh seal. Teaching a doctrine of the seventh seal. A man had come among us and supposedly was the one that was going to break the silence in heaven and on earth. And he had people so emotional and running and jumping and shouting and carrying on. And folks, when they hit the ground, sometimes they ran into the wall and sometimes they fell. But they gobbled it up and they accepted the seven seal teaching. We got part of them right here in Springfield, Ohio on Grand Avenue. Still believe in that. We got folks that I grew up with that are still in that and believe in that. But folks, I've tried the Spirit. And the Spirit is a harsh Spirit. It's not the gentle, kind, sweet Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's a harsh Spirit. And therefore it was meant for one thing, and that's to pull people off, to lead people astray. And that's exactly what it did. And it took them right into confusion. They don't even know and understand the way. I've seen them grow old and die in it. I wasn't sure what was truth anymore. Some say the millennial reign. And other such doctrines are taught in the Word of God. Folks, I can take scriptures and I can prove to you. I did this down in Honduras a few years back. And I can prove to you by scriptures that the Bible does not teach that Christ is coming back to this earth for no thousand years or any other amount of time and going to dwell here and set up His kingdom. Let's look at a scripture right here in the 24th chapter of Matthew. I want you to see what it says. 24 and 24. There shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Let me remind us this morning that through the scenes of time, paganism was on the scene back many years ago, and they were worshiping pagan gods and had pagan practices and lived pagan lives. And then after paganism, pretty soon Catholicism come along, and the Romish Pope was set up, and he was the see here. He was setting in the place of God here on earth, and that was all false teaching, false doctrine. Folks, they're teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Just like Paul said. That wasn't enough. The devil wasn't satisfied. You go into the 13th chapter of Revelation. I don't know a lot about Revelation. I know a little bit about Revelation. But I know one thing. I know that we are to rightly divide the Word of God. And if Christ doesn't sanction it, if Christ doesn't put His approval on it, then it is not a doctrine of Christ. We can believe whatever we want to believe. He said here, where does it say that here in this chapter? Know this. No, that's not the 101. 44th verse in this same 24th chapter. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Son of Man's coming back. He's already been here once. The Bible doesn't tell us He's coming three times. It doesn't tell us that. He's already been here once. And He's coming back one more time. One more time. He's coming. The angel said so. And we read about it in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the things that are going to happen when He comes back. And when He comes back to call this world into judgment, it will be the final judgment when He comes back. There won't be no period of time. There won't be no rapture up of God's people now. And a period of time we're waiting on Christ, folks. There won't be no time for that. The Bible doesn't teach that. Beware, Jesus said, of the doctrines of the leaven and the doctrines of the Pharisees. Why? Because they'll cost you your soul. They can cost you your soul. Be careful what you believe. Be careful what you understand. There's a way that we don't have to be deceived. We don't have to be deceived if we'll follow Christ. If we'll stay in His will. If we'll stay in His doctrines. I don't know of any place, in the New Testament Scriptures where Christ says anything about a millennial reign. I don't know where He says anything about a seventh seal doctrine. I don't see that. I don't see it. You know why I don't see it? Because it ain't there. It isn't there. But people believe it by the numbers. It's amazing to me. I look out upon sectism world today. And I'm going to be very plain, because I want you to understand what I'm saying. You know, the Catholics, they're confused about a lot of things. They got a lot of things messed up, but you can't talk one of them into believing in the millennial reign because they don't teach it. They don't believe in the millennial reign. But you can go out and find other sects that teach the millennial reign, and they don't believe the things the Catholics are teaching. You see what I'm saying this morning? Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that will bless and inspire the soul of the man and help us to know and understand for a surety that it's the truth. Yes. Folks, when I draw my last breath, I want to know that I'm going to go to heaven. I want to know that I believe the things that are right. Yes. I want to know that. Yes. I want to see the power of God working in my own life. I want to see God answering my prayers. I want to see God blessing my life. Folks, we can know it with a surety. We don't have to go out there and listen to all that stuff that man has put out there on the table and feeding souls today. People going to the churches and sitting at the table and feasting on this false things that's going to cost them one of these days when they hit the judgment. It troubles my spirit when I think of those things. It really does. Now, I want to turn to Revelations, if you would. I want to look at the 18th chapter of Revelation. Look what he says here. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. What's Babylon? We read about Babylon all the way back over there in Daniel's day, all the way back over there in Isaiah's day, Jeremiah's day. Folks, Babylon was captivity. Babylon was confusion. God's people were taken into Babylon, over to Babylon, and they were in confusion. And what was it, 40 years that Jeremiah prophesied to them? 40 years, I believe it was. They were over there in that place. And he said, Babylon the Great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. You can be a good moral person. You can treat me just as nice as you want to treat me. But folks, if your soul is not filled with the Spirit of Christ, you're going to be lost. You're going to be lost. If you're not filled with the Spirit of Christ and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That's a disgusting picture, isn't it? It's a disgusting picture. And folks, to me, that's what he's talking about is the church world out there. All these awful teachings and doctrines and commandments of men. Abstain from meats and do it. Paul talks about it over there in Timothy. Doing all those kind of things. Forbidding to marry. And yet God, in His wisdom, when He made Adam, He saw that He needed a helpmeet, and He went out and He gave him a woman and He performed the first marriage. And now man comes along, I got a better idea because I want you to be a priest and I want you to be a leader and I don't want you to be involved with all these family things and these family problems and I want you to abstain from getting married. You know what that's done? I just read an article. Cut it out. I think I cut it out. I saved it. Where the diocese somewhere, the cardinal somewhere, the Catholic Church is having to come up with millions and millions and millions of dollars. Got to sell things. Got to do whatever they got to do for millions of dollars to pay for those poor people that their priests took advantage of and abused. God didn't intend for man to be alone, did He? God intended for man to marry and go and procreate the world. Have family and have children. The Bible's full of it. Speaks of it. Man that has a lot of children is like a man that has arrows full of a quiver full of arrows. Yeah, we got our own ideas. We got our own teachings. Want to believe this and want to believe that. What I say the Bible was, basic instructions, folks. People get involved in things and believe things. They want to be deep thinkers. They want to get a more of an understanding of something. And they're willing to swallow it. Swallow it whole. In order to be able to go around and say, well, I believe this and I believe that. You know what I believe? I believe just like Paul. I don't claim to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Whether we're going to eat when we get to heaven, whether we're going to know one another like we do now when we get to heaven, whether we're going to walk on real streets of gold, whether we're going to do this, it doesn't matter to me. Folks, the little sister in our congregation when I was a little boy, she said, you just keep your little hand in His big hand and He'll take you through. That's good enough for me. I think we should understand enough things to know when something's false and something's wrong. Don't get me wrong there. But folks, don't imbibe it. Don't embrace it. Don't hunger after it. Just know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That'll sustain you. That'll keep you. If we seek Him humbly and honestly and open-heartedly, He'll reveal what is true. He'll reveal Himself. Jesus Christ revealed in your hearts through the Spirit that He sent back to lead us and guide us into the truth. And He'll only lead you into the truth. You can go off on a tangent. You can go and believe all the different things you want to believe. The Holy Spirit will only lead you into the truth. Now, I understand this morning that the Holy Spirit gets blamed for a lot of things He's not guilty of. Well, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that. And I did pray about it. This is what the Lord said for me to do. And the very thing they did was so unlike God. The very act that they committed was so unlike Jesus. But I prayed about it. So did Balaam. But he had covetousness in his heart, didn't he? Lord, help us today. He'll only reveal what is true. Babylon is fallen. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, this is still the message today. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Now, I know Jesus made this statement in the 10th chapter of John. He said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. I understand that. And I don't believe that there's going to be Church of God in heaven and Baptists in heaven. I don't believe there's going to be any of that. He's coming back after individuals, not after groups. But folks, I want to tell you today that when the Spirit reveals truth to our hearts, we've got to act on that.
Yes.
We can't continue forever to justify ourselves where we are. When God in His love and His mercy begins to reveal truth to my heart, and He does that, and I'm in one of those places out there, it's time for me to start looking. And it's time for me to get hungry for the truth and find a place where the truth is being taught. And it's still being taught. Even today, the truth is being taught. Come out of her, that ye be not partaker of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. I want to try to solidify this with a scripture in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, in the 18th verse. Let no man beguile you. Saints, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I don't want anybody following me. I want you to hear the words that God gives me to say, and I want you to pray over them and seek God for your own direction. But folks, if it's the truth, you must embrace it. You must. We don't have any other recourse but to embrace the truth. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. Oh, but they're so humble. They're so sweet. They're nice people. There's some good people over there. I'm not saying there isn't. No doubt there are a lot of good people yet. But folks, there are also the enemy can get into good people and use them to lead you astray. If you're not careful. A voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things that he hath not seen. Teaching, I haven't really seen it, but so-and-so told me. This is what I learned when I was growing up. And I'm going to stay with it the rest of my life. You know, that breaks my heart when I see what it's doing to souls. It really does. When I see what it's doing, when I see how what they have is not sustaining them, how it's failing them and their distresses and troubles of life, and we surely have a lot of troubles in life, intruding into those things, which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Folks, the Spirit is what we want to follow, not a man. How did that go? It keeps coming to my mind, and I know how it goes, but I got to look at it again. When the disciples asked the Lord about the end of time and the destruction of Jerusalem, the first thing he said was, take heed that no man deceive you. Folks, I suppose that I have the same rights as everybody else does. If I want to believe that God forbids me to marry because I'm a preacher, I can believe that. If I want to believe that I shouldn't eat meat on Friday because that's what I choose to believe because some man told me don't eat meat on Friday, I guess I can do that if I want to. I can do that. Let me remind you of another scripture. I don't even know if I wrote it down or not. I don't see it anywhere. It's in Revelations, and I think I can find it. Revelations, maybe the 5th or 6th chapter. Here it is, 6th chapter. 15th verse, and the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men and the chief captains. This is the hierarchy here. These are the big boys. And the mighty men and every bondman and every free man, even the little fellow, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Is he talking about these literal mountains? Hiding us from God? When Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, he wasn't hid from God. God saw him down there. We can't hide from God, folks. But what they're saying here, these doctrines, this leaven, this stuff that I believed and that I stood on all my life, when the time comes for me to need refuge and protection from the storm, or from the judgment, they cry for all those things that they believed. Where are they now? Where are they now? But Lord, I was taught this. My mommy and daddy taught me this. Do you know that I'm getting right on close to 70 years old, and I still thank the Lord for the heritage of a mother and father that taught me the truth. And is it, were they anyone special? Well, they're my mom and dad. But folks, I had to go and get it for myself. What I have today, what you have today, you didn't get it from your mother's skirt tail. You didn't get it from your dad's knee. You've got to get it for yourself. It's got to work in your own heart and in your own life. You've got to know for a surety of yourself that this thing is real. I've seen people raised up that were very near death. I've seen my mother brought back after she had passed out probably 25 or 30 times. Stopped breathing, I watched her. Chest was not rising. The brother McCoy stand there and dad and whoever else was there and pray for her. And pretty soon the chest began to rise and she took a deep breath and went on living. I saw that many times. You say, well, the devil has power too. He does. But he don't have the Spirit of God, does he? He does not have the Spirit of Christ. God has that power, folks. I've seen it. I've seen it in many ways. I've seen what God did for me. I've seen Him take a drunkard. I've seen Him take a man that was throwing his life away. And I've seen Him turn it all around and have mercy and deliver my soul that I can have hope and peace and glory in my own heart and life. I've seen Him do that. I've experienced it. I've witnessed it. I've had times, you know, I'm not a jumper and a shouter, but I've had times when it seems like His presence is so great the tears begin to flow and it just begins to well up inside me. Folks, it's real. I know it's real. Because it works in my own heart and my own life. You know, I'm so disgusted, if I may use that word, and saddened by what I see in our country today. I saw something yesterday. I read it and saw some pictures of a man standing on top. You know how the overpasses over highways, they got cages around them now so people can't just jump off or throw rocks. Over Highway 40, somewhere, man had crawled out and got on top and was going to jump into the traffic on Interstate 40. Semis and cars just a-flying. And it showed a picture of two women that were policemen that was called to the scene. They were sitting there talking to the man, trying to tell him, don't do it. You don't want to do that. Trying to talk him into coming down. Trying to help save his life. You know what they said? They had traffic stopped down there because they didn't want him falling on somebody or right in front of somebody's car. And they said there were people down there saying, jump! Jump! Go ahead, jump! I turned to my wife and I started crying. I mean crying. And I said, I'm so sick of what this society has become. They have no real meaning anymore. They have no real understanding anymore of the value of life. And it's a joke to them. Go ahead, jump, jump. That's sad, folks. That's sad. That's really sad. America. Make America great again. Well, God could do it if America would bless God. He could do it. Mr. Trump can't, but God can. God can bless us, folks. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take the truth. It's going to take us in believing in the one true God, in Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. That's what the Scripture says. Believe in God and Jesus Christ that He has sent to this world. So my little warning this morning, be careful. Jesus warned the disciples. And I'm talking to disciples of the Lord, and I want to warn you. I want to be faithful to warn you. Be careful of what's out there. Don't let a little error get mingled in with the truth that you know and understand. You know, if I drew a straight line right up this board and said that's truth, and I put a little bit of error right down here, and I stayed on that path, by the time I get up there, I'm going to be that far away from truth. I'm going to be far away from truth. And I'm going to be so confused. And I'm going to be believing doctrines of devils. And doctrines of men. And not the doctrines of Christ. Beware, He said of the leaven. One more scripture, and then I'll be finished, Lord willing. Jeremiah sixth chapter. Folks, this is Bible. What I'm putting out this morning, it's Scripture. It's Bible. Isaiah 6 and 17. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. I suppose that I could stand before Congress, sitting Congress, both houses, and our illustrious president, and preach the same message, and it would be as a mockery unto them. We don't have to accept and believe that kind of stuff. This is 2016, man. What's your problem? That's the way people think today. What's your problem? Therefore, he said, they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. I want to tell you something. God's bringing the evil on this country because of the sins of mankind. Because of the sins. I will bring evil. He didn't say the devil would. I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Jump! Go ahead, jump. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. You could preach this all over our country today. You know what people would do? Reject it. They would reject it. Jesus said, beware. Beware, folks, of the yeast that's in false teachings. Beware of it. Because it'll grow. It'll be your mainstay. Folks, you get a hold of that, and it'll be your mainstay in what you believe and what you accept as the truth. Lord, help us all today. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Embrace the truth. Love it with all of your heart. It'll work for you. It'll work. It'll bless your soul. It'll sustain you in the day of trouble. It'll be there for you when you need it the most. I desire your prayers that I will be faithful. Some people might get the idea that some of us ministers like to preach these kind of messages. I'm not real fond of it, but I do like to do what God tells me to do. Folks, we all need a warning. We all need to be beware of what we're surrounded by. I want to be faithful. Thank you for your time and attention.